Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, yo, you. I see most cats will take advantage of you right now. But I ain't gonna do that, huh? I'm gonna give you the game, right? I'm gonna give it to you because I would want somebody to give my little girl the game. And she done found her S.E.
Life's too real. Heard you just turned 17 and finally got some hips. Hustlers on the block go crazy when you hit your lips. But they just want relation, they don't want relationships.
Welcome to the real world.
It ain't the same. Fellas old enough to be your daddy, know your name. Everybody's talking about how much that girl did change. Can't quite put your finger on it, but you're feeling strange. Like it's fire in your veins.
Welcome to another episode of Table Talk with T and Ronan, and I'm glad to see everybody here in the chat room. I hope everybody's doing really, really good tonight. It's been a crazy week, lots of crazy stories. Ronan, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I just got back from the gym, so I feel kind of, I feel kind of sick, and I'm trying to, I want to do the show and everything, so I feel kind of like, so it was just a long night at the gym, but I'll be all right. So anyways, I wanted to talk to everybody because you guys remember last week's show, I was getting real upset and it was just a bunch of, mess up going on YouTube, with these crazy boys threatening me and everything else. But, you guys always encourage me, and that's what I really appreciate about everybody on Blog Talk Radio. You guys encourage me to keep doing what I'm doing and keep telling my truth how I see fit. I'm not trying to speak for anybody else. The only person I can speak for is myself, And at that point in time, last week, it was just one little weighing stand that was harassing me and stuff like that. But when I did the whole video about Chief Keef going at Katy Perry, I was just almost shocked and appalled at the reaction of some of these young boys. It's one thing to not like a video. And if you really watch the video, I didn't diss Chief Keef, whatever the hell. I didn't diss him. I didn't say boycott his music. I didn't say don't listen to him. All I said is personally I wasn't feeling his song. And I was one of the few YouTubers who put Katy Perry on blast for being a hypocrite. Everybody else is winning at Chief Keef. You know what I'm saying? I made points. I showed where she was a hypocrite and how she didn't really have no right to go at him about, you know, what his lyrics are because she preaches about getting drunk and having one night stands. So who is she to go in on his music? And she's always throwing shade. So I put her on blast just as well. But these kids totally ignored that part of it. And I'm talking about everything from, bitch, you're going to get your ass whipped, bitch, suck my dick. I mean, just like the most vulgar stuff. And then when I go on these pages, it's obvious it's young kids. It's not grown men because the videos that they're watching, the one kid that told me to, you know, to suck him off and let him nut in my face, disgusting-ass little boy, he couldn't be no older than 13 because all the videos on his page were like wrestling videos and cartoons. And I'm just like, where are the parents? Like, are kids just free to just literally just roam the internet and threaten people and you know, threaten to rape somebody? Like, I just found it just really, really crazy that these kids are just so off the chain. If y'all go into that comment section on the YouTube video, you guys will just be in shock just reading the comments. It's just disgusting. What did you think when I called you? What did you think about the whole comment thing when me and you had talked about it?
It really doesn't surprise me nowadays because, like, not only is there, it just shows how bad the family structure is eroded. Like, there's no sense of conflict resolution. There's no sense of respecting a personal space for themselves. So they figure they can bully or say all this egregious nonsense with no consequence. Like, again, when you have someone threatening to rape anybody, that's a serious offense. And it shows how stupid people are because, again, they can be arrested for cyber crimes out there, like just out there doing the bullying and all that mess. So, I mean, again, in some ways I'm not surprised and I'm saddened by the whole thing at the same time.
Right. And, you know, that's what people don't realize. Like, if I was just really, you know, if I really wanted to push the issue, because I take screenshots of everything, I save every email, every threat, I save everything, you know what I'm saying, just for the fact, you know, people have issues, and I've done that. The reason when I first started saving everything was when me and some racists got into it back in, like, 2009, after Asia McGowan got killed on YouTube. She was a YouTuber, and there was a black dude obsessed with her, and he killed her. And so I had made a video about that, and these racist people had basically desecrated her page. And so I was upset about it. It was a crazy video. I was, like, upset and crying and screaming. It was, like, one of, like, my first few videos. But I ended up taking it down the next day. But these racist people were threatening me and everything else. So I had to get, like, the police involved and IP addresses. And it's like, I don't want to go there anymore with people. So I don't really trip off of people's stupid comments. And it's like, I don't want these young kids to have criminal records or to be arrested or send the police to their house. Because people act like, yeah, the internet is, there's some type of anonymity, but not really. There's no anonymity anymore on the internet. But, you know, you can hide behind a screen name, but that IP address takes you directly to your location. So everything you do online is tracked. So it's like, if I really wanted to push the issue, I definitely could with all these kids. But I don't want to do that, you know, because I don't want these kids to, you know, have to have a criminal record, especially if they're just talking shit. You know, but I just think it just says a lot, like you said, where society is and the mentality of young kids, that they feel like, you know, it's okay to talk to people like this. And I'm grown, so for the most part, I can handle myself. But like I said on Facebook, what bothers me more is the fact that these 13, 14, and 15-year-olds are talking like this. How does a 13, 14, or 15-year-old girl handle something like that? Because I'm grown. I know who I am. I could care less if they think I'm ugly. I could care less if they think my hair is nappy. It is what it is. But if you're 15 and, you know, like I said in the Abercrombie and Fitch video, as a teenager, your self-esteem is so fragile. So, you know, to hear them going at me, and I'm grown, I can imagine how they talk to girls in the classroom or how they talk to girls in their neighborhood. I mean, it's really, really sad that young boys think it's okay to talk like that. And it's not just the young boys. There were some young girls on there, too, you know, who were kind of off the chain. But it was mainly the boys that were yelling out the whole rape thing and, you know, saying suck their stuff. And it was just a whole mess.
No, I mean, they don't even think about the consequences of that, because let's just say they do get prosecuted and sent to a correctional facility. They'll learn how it feels on the other side, literally, unfortunately, of what that stuff is. So they need to be careful what they're asking for. But, again, trying to talk to them, like, logically or even in any kind of term, they're not trying to hear that. It seems like the thing to do, they're giving the peer pressure, and they seem to lack the ability to think for themselves. It's about trying to impress other, I hate to say it, ancient individuals, trying to, I guess, meet their approval when really it's not even worth it at all.
Right. And Camerady is asking, what is a stan? Because everybody's talking about all these stands and stuff like that. A stand is basically a fan. Eminem created it, you know, about that obsessive fan. And see, like I said before in some of it, when we was growing up, we were fans. You know, there was a lot of celebrities. Like, I was a huge Janet Jackson fan, you know, when I was, like, in junior high and stuff, Poetic Justice. I'm still a big Tupac fan. You can't say nothing bad about me, about Tupac to me, because I'm a big fan of his. But I'm not going to sit here and argue with nobody who doesn't like Tupac or who doesn't like Jan or who doesn't like, you know, Britney Spears or whatever. It's not that serious. At the end of the day, these people are not paying you to defend them. And I think right now it's like with these kids, they want to live so vicariously through these celebrities that they take this shit to heart. And it's not just the Chief Keef stands. They're no different from the Beyonce Beehive stands. They're no different from the Rihanna Navy, the Chris Brown Army. And then it's like all these little groups, they have names. Lady Gaga has her little monsters. Mariah Carey has her loyal lambs. You know, it's like, what the fuck? You know, can't we just let the celebrity just, you know, like them for their music? Why do I have to stand for them? Why do I have to go off on people who disagree? Like, I sat here, and Nikki has barbs. Thank you, VH1 Access. I mean, it's crazy. And none of these kids are getting paid to defend these celebrities so hard. And it's like if you have any type of opinion, you know, if you're putting that celebrity, if you're calling that celebrity out on their nonsense, it's like they go so hard, they get so upset. And it's like, really? I know when I got attacked by the mindless behavior stands. 12 and 13-year-old girls attacked me for 2 weeks straight. Sent me emails, told me I was a bitch. I mean, went off on me. And all I said was, I didn't diss my behavior. I said, they're adorable boys, they can sing, but I don't like the group's name. And these girls went on the offense. It means to be creative. It means to be smart. It means to be positive. No, boo. Google the Webster Dictionary of mindless behavior. It doesn't mean that. You know what I'm saying? You can't change the meaning of something. You can't change the literal meaning of something and then get upset when adults don't interpret it how you guys interpret it. I mean, these little girls went off on me for 2 weeks straight. I was just like, whatever. You know, it's insane. Believers, thank you, Justin Bieber. He has his believers. They're crazy, too. I remember they trashed that Esmeralda girl's wiki page when she won the Grammy Award over Justin Bieber, and they trashed her page, left all types of racist comments, talked about her hair. I mean, you would really think that some of these people are getting a check to defend their favorite celebrity. I will never understand that mentality.
With all of these little clicks that you've been lifting off, I start thinking, like, there's these human guinea pigs who I guess have been taught to learn how to kiss ass and toss salad just to be accepted. And this shows a whole – it just tells me a whole lot about people who have lost the ability to be individuals. Like, learn their own ideas and be unique and be themselves. It's like, I got to be a part of the group, you know, the group, or I stand to be an outcast. Sometimes it's better that way nowadays. You like what you like, do what you do, be yourself. That's probably one of the hardest things to do on earth is to be yourself. But I think that's one of the greatest fears in actually standing out and standing up for themselves. So when you had all these cliques out here, the lambs, it's hilariously sad, especially the people that they're following. It's like, it's not that serious. That would terrify me if I had some little mob, you know, trying to beat me or cutting themselves because, you know, someone said something bad about me. I mean, I could take up from myself, but this shit ain't necessary. You just ate.
Yeah, it's crazy. I remember when them stands were cutting themselves for Bieber because they were mad that he was hanging with Lil Twist and smoking weed. And, you know, and some of them were saying just real racist stuff, like, you need to leave that N-word alone. And it's all that, you know, the N-word's fault. And he was just normal when he didn't hang with, you know, the N-word. And I'm just like, whatever. You know, it's just, it's insane, like, how these kids take things so to heart, you know. And you would think that, and at first for a long time, I thought it was the girls. I thought it was like the crazy barbs and the Beyonce stands and, you know, stuff like that. But the boys are just as bad now as the girls. And the Chief Keef video definitely proved that to me. It really did. Because you would think there'd be more females on there defending Chief Keef being that he's a boy. But it was straight up dudes on there riding for this dude. You know, and it was just funny to see, like, the people who did have my back when it was going at the trolls. Like, you know, can you get Chief Keef's dick out your throat? You know what I'm saying? Because you're gagging right now. Like, you're doing the most. You that upset. And nobody dissed this man. You know what I mean? So it's insane, like, how a lot of these young people think. They have just, like, this sheep mentality, this group mentality that they can't think for themselves or that they need a whole group of people. You know, and I learned from a long time ago when I was a kid, like, life is not a field trip. I don't, you know what I'm saying, I don't need to collect permission slips from nobody. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to go out there and go do it. You know what I mean? Like, regardless if it's going to the mall, hanging out, some people feel like they need a huge entourage. I can go out and hang out by myself. You know, if I ask somebody, like, let's say, like, just like when we're supposed to be going out of town, right, for my birthday. We're trying to go back to Vegas this summer. So, you know, I sent out emails and text messages, like, who wants to go to Vegas for my birthday and kick it? Some people are down. Some people can't go. It is what it is. TT buy a ticket, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? Life is not a field trip. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to go out and go do it. I don't need a whole group of people. You know, and I think that's the problem is, like, a lot of people are just scared to stand on their own, too. They feel like they need a whole group of people, you know, besides them, you know, just catering to them and patting them on the back continuously. It's insane, the mentality that some of these kids have out here. Sad, really. What do you think about the whole group think culture, Ronan?
It shows me that people are afraid to speak their own mind, to have an opinion of their own, to stand against the grain. There's nothing really wrong with that. I mean, again, like, familiarity breeds contempt. When everyone's thinking the same old thing, wearing the same old thing, doing the same old thing, and, like, when guys are doing the things that they've been doing, like, to you, like, all for Chief Keef, that's kind of bitch-made to me personally. It's kind of moist. It don't take all that mess. I mean, there's people I like as far as bands and, you know, as far as music, musicians or sports, but it's never to the point where I will fight over someone who ain't paying me shit, who don't even know me from a can of paint. It just don't add up to me. It just don't add up.
Right. And a lot of people making a lot of good points in the chat room. I guess Trey Songz, his little stands are called Angels. And Sassy was saying that she's one of his angels. And I said, well, y'all must be sweet and classy because I've never been cussed out by a Trey Songz fan, period. But Princeton is saying that he's an obsessed Omarion and Eminem fan, but he looks at it like this, like, if you don't like them, oh, well, it's as simple as that. There's no need to go back and forth and argue. BHYX is saying there's a difference between being a fan and being a stan. I'm a fan of somebody, but if there's something there... Hold on. But if they're in the wrong, I'm not delusional about it. And that's very true, and that's why I fools with VH1's blog, because he doesn't stand for his VH1 people. Like, if somebody's doing some stupid stuff on Love & Hip Hop or whatever, VH1's going to call him out. He's not going to just ride with them just because they're with VH1. You know, and that's why I like his blog, because he's more open. He don't just sit there and ride these people just because they're on VH1. You know, so it's crazy. I remember, we was on Twitter when we was watching Love & Hip Hop the other night. Me and Brittany were talking on Twitter. So, you know, I'm just going in, because I haven't watched Love & Hip Hop in a minute, so I'm just going in on whatever the topic is and stuff. I'm talking about Tay Michelle and, let me see, Mimi just acting stupid, flipping out. And, you know, I'm just going in, just I'm having everybody cracking up. I'm telling Chris Brown he needs to pay Drew because Drew's on national television begging for money. So everybody's retweeting my comment. So all of a sudden, some little nosy-ass boy, he comes on my Twitter page, and he starts talking to me and Brittany. He was digging through Brittany's tweets. So he comes trying to defend the people on Love & Hip Hop. I mean, was like, bitch, F you, this is my show, you ain't got to watch it. I mean, went off because I was talking shit about Love and Hip Hop. And so I cussed him out. I cussed his ass out. His little feelings got hurt. You know what I'm saying? So I cussed him out, blocked him. So then he started tweeting Britney, trying to go off on her. You know what I mean? It's like, why are you defending these people on Love and Hip Hop? They're not even real celebrities. They're just some new hood rats on the show. And he was going so hard. When I tell me and Britney was on Twitter cracking up, I'm like, people really need to get a life. It is not that serious. And he had 50 followers, and for the rest of the night, he kept tweeting about me to his 50 followers. F Lovely T, she's just hating on K. Michelle. And look her, how dare she talk about Mimi. First of all, you're a young man. If you're that upset for the reality show, I'm going to need you to get your life. I'm like, what are your parents at? Why is he up even watching this? I know females who don't go hard like this for reality TV show people. But I had a good laugh that night. We was cracking up on Twitter because he was so mad. And everybody's like, there's this little boy that just keeps tweeting and he's going through my timeline and speaking to people that were talking to me, sending them tweets through them to tell me. I'm like, just block him. He's a loser. You know, so people are insane. People straight up have issues when it comes to whatever their passion is. I just don't understand it. I'm not about to sit here and ride or die for nobody on reality television, let alone a celebrity.
This is some, this is some fantastic bullshit. And I'm going to say it like that because any person who is got a dude's dick baldy in their throat and they don't know him and they like ready to die for this person. If this person died in the name of Chief Keef and Chief Keef didn't give a fuck about him, what was it all for? That's just outright fucking stupid. Just if you're gonna go hard for something, try looking in the mirror and see something worth fighting for. If you can't do that, shut the fuck up.
But you got people who won't even go that hard for themselves. You know, whose self-esteem is so low, they won't even go hard for themselves like that. They won't even carry themselves in that certain light, but you're ready to put somebody else on a pedestal that you wouldn't even put yourself on. You know, that's the sad part. But, you know, moving on from that, I wanted to talk about the whole rape culture, you know, not just the boys, you know, leaving those nasty messages on YouTube, but the little 12-year-old girl who got raped, you know, and that story pissed me off. That story, you know, really bothered me. And you have a few people saying, like, oh, well, I feel like you were trying to blame the victim. If you watch that video, I didn't blame that girl not one time. I asked, where were her parents at? And why there wasn't a conversation had with this young girl at the age of 12, you have to be mindful for older boys. You know, now I understand the kids are going to get into all types of stuff. You cannot keep tags on your children 24/7. Trust me, I know. But the thing is, we have to start having an open dialogue with our kids. Because in her naive mind, being 12 and being a 12-year-old girl at one point in time in my life, she's not thinking this older boy is trying to sleep with her. You know, she's still 12. And people are like, well, maybe she was fast. And that being said, she's still 12 years old. So when you tell a child like that, yo, come over, I want to talk to you, and especially she's attention starved or she's not getting any male attention or any positive male attention from like a father figure or her father in the household, she's going to seek that shit outside of the household. So when the boy said he wanted to come and talk to her, I'm definitely thinking as a 12-year-old child, that's what she thought it was going to be. But when she got there, it was more than she bargained for. They pulled a gun out, put the gun to her temple, and sat there and raped her. And on top of raping this poor child, they recorded it. You know, how horrible is that to, one, be raped, not by one person, but by three people. And I've been in that situation, so that shit fucking hurt when I heard that story because I've been raped by one person. So I couldn't imagine three people, and then let alone you're getting raped, they're recording this shit, and then they put it on Facebook for the world to see like the shit was okay. So if anybody thinks I'm trying to blame the victim, you have me fucked up, and you can feel free to unsubscribe to me because I've been a victim of that. I've been in situations like that. So I would never blame a child. But what I am saying is that people need to start talking to their children because, honestly, in this day and age, there's no more innocence. Innocence is lost. There is no more innocence for these kids anymore, and a lot of people are scared to talk to their kids about sex and the reality of rape. You have to. You have to be open and upfront with your kids because there are some sick, evil, demonic people out here who don't care about your children. You may love your child to death. That does not mean the next person does.
There's some there's some problems that come with that situation because I've been in relationships and I met people who's came from possibly second or third generation of people who've been raped, and because of the situation happened to them and their offspring, they dismissed it or didn't want to, they responded to it as a parent should because they didn't want to face what happened to them themselves. And as screwed up as that is, that's why it's imperative to, like, when something as life-altering as that takes place, it has to be handled. There has to be some kind of, not just therapy, but some steps to, like, heal that person overall. Otherwise, it's that collateral damage will spread to not just through the family, but probably to, you know, the next generation and that to follow. Because the worst thing that could happen is a situation like that takes place and you have a parent or people start pointing the finger at the child. Now the child doesn't give a shit. Just like, since no one's listening to me, I might as well let what happens happen. They'll always blame themselves, and a lot of times they can be self-destructive or even take their own life or even be like some of these chicks that, or some of these people that get out here who get infected with AIDS, going out there and just basically killing people like that way.
Exactly. And, you know, what's sad is the fact, too, like, it wasn't like a little girl came out and told what happened to her. So if it wasn't for those boys posting that video, it would have been swept under the rug. Because a lot of victims don't like to talk about the stuff that they've been through. And a lot of stuff doesn't come out until you get older and you realize it was wrong. So imagine this little girl. This took place in December. It's been about, six, maybe 7 months since December. This little girl's been holding the secret in for the past 7 months. I can imagine how bad her attitude has changed, how she looks at the world differently. Her grades probably slipped in school. She probably had, you know, depression, probably suicidal, and nobody knew what was wrong with this girl. And the fact was, this girl was raped by three older guys, and she's been holding this in for the past 7 months. You know, and I feel bad for that child. I feel bad for any of these little girls out here who put themselves in situations, you know, unbeknownst to them. Because I think there's a lot of little girls out here that don't realize the seriousness of, you know, of their actions. That's what a lot of kids, you know, they do certain things, they don't realize the seriousness of their actions. They don't realize, like, sometimes they can put themselves in a situation, they think one thing, and something totally different comes out of that. Now, we all saw those moms. You watched the video running the moms who had catfished the little girls. They had lied, and they were meeting a boy at the park, and it ended up being the mama?
Yeah.
Okay, so a lot of people are upset with the mom for doing that. You know, and I don't agree with people putting all this stuff on the Internet. I've already said that. But that's the point. The little girl went to the park to go meet a boy that she met online on Facebook. And she's thinking she's meeting another 14-year-old kid, and they're probably going to sit on the swings or, you know, chop it up, whatever the hell 13, 14-year-olds do. I don't know nowadays. But it ended up being her mom. And like I said in the video, thank goodness it was her mom, because real talk, what if that was a grown man? What if that was somebody who came to kidnap her or bring that girl harm? So I can't fault the mom for catfishing her daughter. I don't agree with it necessarily being posted online, but I can't fault what the mom did, because she was, like VH1 Access is saying in the chat room, she was trying to protect her child and letting her child know that anybody can tell you anything on the Internet. Anybody
can
be a damn baller, a damn, you know, whatever, celebrity. Anybody can be anything they want to be on the Internet, but that doesn't make it true. And I remember back in the day when we was younger, we didn't have the Internet. Hey, Salacy, we didn't have the Internet. But y'all remember talking on those phone chat rooms, like those party lines?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Don't get quiet in the chat room. I know y'all remember the phone party lines, right? I'm not that old. So this was before the Internet and chat rooms and stuff like that. There would be a party line. You would call a phone number and you get to meet people in your city. So when we were like in, you know, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, we would sit on these party lines all the dang on time. Okay, good. I'm glad y'all remember them. So, and when you think about it, it was crazy because we would meet people off these party lines. So that's what I'm saying. Kids do stuff without thinking. Kids are so naive. You know, I remember me and my best friend meeting some people from the party line. Now, thank God they ended up being other high school students from another high school. But what if these would have been grown men who would have took us away at gunpoint? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, we went to the park and we chilled and, you know, we got to, you know, they ended up, and I'm still, matter of fact, I'm still friends with them to this day. You know, we met through the party line. I'm still cool. You know, we chop it up every now and then, you know, when I see them and stuff. But, yeah, you know, you just never know. And that's what I'm saying. I think back then when we was growing up, I'm not saying that there weren't kids getting kidnapped, kids getting raped. I'm not saying that. But I just think that it was a little bit better back then. But I think nowadays it's just so scary.
It is, and they show on not just shows like How to Catch a Predator, but, again, you got teachers and other people that people usually put their trust in easily. They sit there and, like, are able to, like, pretty much pick your kids like flowers, you know, just tell them any and everything. And because the parents are not even aware, or there's some who get told, but they're not going to lift the finger like, oh, you know, just whatever. Then you get the things that we get. And then once a person is, like, violated in that sense, like, I've seen girls who grow to hate men. I've seen dudes, and it happens to men as well, they grow to hate women and in so many different ways. So that would explain why there's a widespread groundswell of ignorance out here, because there's a lot of people lashing out from stuff that has happened or hasn't been provided for them. And plus you have the system is not giving them any help. The inmates are running the asylum.
I can't stand that, Ashley. You said she wrote the chat room. She said on the party line, my cousin was thirsty as hell, and he went to somebody's house and ended up being a man twice.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Ashley always got some type of ratchet story. So, Ronnie, you said your brother ran up a $2,000 bill?
Yes, he did. For some reason, my mom got in his ass about that one, but it came up to about $2,000 talking to some chick in Illinois. And this is way before Catfish, but when she said she was in Indianapolis, she told us where she was, and she was, like, in between two parallel streets. I'm like, man, this chick is bullshit. You know, so, again, like, I think he finally met her, and she wasn't anywhere near what she claimed to be. You know, just...
you know what, matter of fact, I'm thinking back to a story. Oh, my gosh, I got catfished before. Hell yeah. I just remembered the story. Okay, so what happened was I think it was one of my friends trying to be funny, but somebody was like, okay, I met this dude on the bus, and, you know, da-da-da, he just seemed like he's your type, you know, because she was like, she doesn't, you know, I don't know, whatever. She just felt like the dude was more of my type. So she lied, gave the dude my name, gave the guy my phone number, everything. I'm like, what the hell? And I was grounded that weekend, so I hadn't been out, nothing. So this dude started calling my house and was like, you know, hey, can I see the TT? And I'm like, yeah, who's this? And he's like, oh, this is such and such. I met you on the bus. I'm like, on what bus? And he was like, you know, on the 16, whatever. And I was like, when was this? And he was like, yesterday you gave me your phone number. And I'm like, I've been grounded all weekend, so it wasn't me. And he was like, it was you. How did I get your number if I didn't meet you? I said, well, what did I look like? So he starts describing my tall-ass friend who's like 6 foot. And I'm like, you know, 5'5 at the time. And I'm like, no, that wasn't me. That was my homegirl. So I called her, and I'm like, you know, why would you give this dude my phone number? She's like, well, he just seemed more your type, and he seemed nice. But, you know, I'm not, you know, he's too short for me. So anyway, so we end up meeting. So he was like, you know, well, just, you know, let's meet up or whatever. You seem really cool. And I'm probably like, you know, 16, 17 at the time. So I'm like, okay, well, let's meet up in downtown Minneapolis. So we go down there, and we meet up at, like, you know, Subway. They have lunch or whatever. when I tell you, I mean, he was, what, I think he was like 18, 19, hot mess. I said, really? My girl had jokes. He just looked crazy as shit. I was like, I'm cool. But people do this stuff all the time. And she just thought, she was like, well, I just think he's your type. And it was like a big old joke to her, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, so kids do stupid stuff like that. Kids will meet up with people, you know, on the chat room or on the phone. You know, people exchange phone numbers. But, you know, again, you have to be careful. And I think in this day and age, like I said before, I just think it's worse nowadays. Because it seems like, maybe I watch too much investigation discovery, but it seems like people are crazy as shit nowadays.
They are. Yeah, they are. They're crazy as a motherfucker nowadays. They are, like, again, like, when you have Photoshop and you have all these tools that make yourself look like you're this great individual, like, damn, I got me this bad baller, I got this fine chick, and then when you meet him, it's like a Nightmare on Elm Street. It's happened to a lot of us. So you got people who can't even be honest with themselves, and when you meet them, you had that uncomfortable silence, like, this is some bullshit here. And that's happened to all of us, myself included. So, yeah, I feel y'all pain.
Well, everybody's been catfished before. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to need, Tyler's really so young. She's like, I'm too young for this conversation. What is chat? What did she say? What is phone talking, phone chatting?
Oh,
I think you got a lot of young people here. They don't even know what we're talking about.
She's young.
Because they're
we'll
so used to Facebook. Okay, so back in the day when we were teenagers, y'all breaking down in the chat room. When we were younger, there was this, it was called a party line. So you would call a phone number, and for the girls, it was free, okay? And the dudes would call another number, but they charged the guys. That's how it worked in our state. Is that how it worked in your state? The guys got charged?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
So in our state, the girls were free, so the girls never had to pay anything. Yo, ASL, age, sex, and location. I remember that. So basically, you would call this phone number, and ours was called like the Telecafe. That was the name of our chat room, our party chat line. So you would call this phone number, and then you could create like a little phone profile. So you would leave a message. You'd be like, yeah, this is TT. You know, I'm 16, and, you know, brown skin, long hair, you know, just whatever. You just tell your little profile. You would record a little message. And then the dudes would call in on a different number, and they would go through the profile. So they would be hitting buttons like, okay, well, she sounds good. I like her voice. You know, and it was all done through the phone. And so what would happen is you would basically, like, if you were on the line at that point in time and the dude hears your profile, they want to talk to you, then they could hit one to talk to you. So a lot of times it would be a bunch of us on one phone line, be like me, three or four homegirls. And then dudes, they would share, so they wouldn't have to pay that much. So usually when a guy will pick your profile, it's usually like two or three dudes. So it'd be like a group, and you have like literally like six people talking and chopping it up from all over the city. So that's what we did when we were kids. Y'all were bringing it back. Folks in the chat, we're talking about Black Planet, MSN, Yahoo Chat.
Yeah, the stalkers out there are real.
Days. Remember how everybody had an AOL homepage?
Yes, they did.
Did anybody else have an AOL homepage? I had one. That was before Facebook.
Yeah, that was a Facebook before Facebook right there.
And then remember the AOL homepage. That's when you used to have the dial-up. We were in the high-speed internet. Folks are talking about AIM. Oh, my goodness. There were so many things back then, you know, that we used to be on. It wasn't as much drama. It's like I just don't understand the whole Facebook thing and just all the mess. And I don't know if it was, you know, the drama came because people were able to add their pictures. But I don't remember anybody cussing anybody out on AOL homepage. I don't remember anybody, you know, threatening people or, you know, acting a mess. Even on MySpace. MySpace wasn't even that, you know, off the chain back then.
No. It really wasn't, or that, or tagged, or some of these other new social websites that was coming around. Then Facebook took on a whole new, you know, animal. Now they're doing it on Twitter and these Instagram models. It's changing up pretty quick. So Damn, I remember them.
It is, you know, it's like a lot. And then it's, you know, everybody's so used to just posting their information and sharing where they're at and sharing their location. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
As she said, she thinks she's the only one who doesn't have any drama on Facebook. I
feel keep on
you.
Posting.
I don't have time
keep
for the
posting.
Nonsense. It's not that serious.
Keep on posting. You'll find it.
For real, it's time to really change that, you know, and I just think, like, I think a lot of times as adults forget what it is to be a teenager, you know, what it is to, you know, go through certain emotions and things like that, and it's easy to just chastise and talk down to kids and go off on them and call them fast and, you know, like that mama that was cussing out her daughter, you know, she's calling all types of sluts and
yeah.
calling her a hoe and, you know, and I didn't agree with the name she was calling a little girl. You know, because obviously for the girl to think it's okay to be, you know, accepting pictures of boys showing her their dinglings and stuff like that, and she was sending them, you know, pictures of her really scantily clad. I just think the mom needed to have a conversation with her before she allowed her to get a Facebook page. And being that conversation was never had, you know, if you don't have a conversation with your kids beforehand, they don't really know what to expect. They're getting bombarded with a lot of stuff. You know, I know one of my friends, she had an issue with her daughter on Facebook where a boy was, you know, writing all these messages and, you know, talking about when can he get some. And, you know, these are 13-year-olds. You know, so it's like you never know what these kids are writing and telling each other on Facebook. So, you know, I think you just have to set certain standards for your kids and tell them, you know, their expectations. You know, and then if they end up, you know, messing up or not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then you take those privileges away from them.
But that's the thing.
You know, it's as simple as that.
But if you look at it, parents haven't been talking to their kids, like, straight up for the longest time. It's like they talk at the kids, like, you know, do as I say and as I do. And
right.
kids learn a lot. They learn a lot more from what they see than what is being heard. So they can put two and two together, mom or dad's on some bullshit, and you see that a lot of parents, since it's like nowadays it's like a two-parent income to maintain things. Kids are like dropped
mm-hmm.
off either at other relatives and everything like that. So now the kids are learning from other family members, some fast cousins, some questionable uncles or aunts, or even the ones who are decent, but they still want to be accepted by their peers, so they'll do any and everything to like be a part of the group. So, you know, without their parents, like, giving them guidance, say, look, you can come talk to me about things and being brutally honest with the kids, this is what we get.
Right. And like people are saying in the chat room, monkey see, monkey do. If you guys are having issues hearing this in the chat room, make sure you guys just hit refresh twice. Yeah, I know the Illuminati likes to fuck with our page. They stay hanging out us. We ain't even said nothing about Barack Obama yet. Watch the phone hang up. Anytime we talk about Barack, anytime we talk about something political, the whole show gets shut down. So we'll see what happens. If y'all can't hear me, just hit refresh, and then that should help. That's what everybody else is saying in the chat room. But as she was saying, it's monkey see, monkey do, and I agree. I think a lot of these parents are off the damn chain on Facebook. A lot of the pictures that they post, you know, and then you get mad at your teenage daughter and what she's wearing, but every picture of you on your Facebook profile, you got your ass out, your ass is facing the, you know, the camera, you're bent over, you're doing all types of, you know, raunchy shit too. So if you're doing that as a mother, how do you think your daughter's going to think that that's where her sexuality comes from and that's what it is to be sexy? You know what I'm saying? To, like, you know, bend over and sit on the sink and do all them, you know, them little hood booger poses. So it's like, why be shot when you have your 13, 14-year-old out there taking the same poses?
Wow. They even got grandmas out there doing some, like, tramp stamp type stuff. Like, she's sitting there in spread eagle, busting it open for everybody. I mean, there's
yeah, you talking about China Black's mama?
Yeah.
The one that was dancing on the picnic table?
I had the misfortune of seeing that. That, no.
That was gross. I'm like, this woman is not only a mother, but a grandmother. She was on the, somebody found the video, she was on the picnic table, China Black's mother. China Black, or is it Black China? I don't know. But she's Tiger's baby mama. And basically, her mother was teaching everybody how to twerk on the picnic table. And that's what I say. We want to get mad at all these little girls who are out there putting up these twerk videos, but you have grandmothers on picnic tables teaching folks how to twerk. You know, it's crazy.
She should let that go.
And people are saying that's because grandma's 30 nowadays. So true. It's sad, but true. I have some friends who are grandmothers because they had a child at 14, and that now that 14-year-old is 14, 15, 16, and they're having kids. You know, so I have two friends, actually, who are 33 and they're grandmothers. And they be in the club, and they still be kicking it. And, you know, it's not the same situation it was when we were growing up, when grandma was 60, 70 years old, not no more. It's crazy.
Sadness. This is outright sadness. But, the best thing we can do is hit the reset button. If you have nieces, nephews, sons and daughters, actually sit down and talk to your kids. Show your kids, like, don't show them everything quite yet, but at their level of comprehension. You're the greatest teacher. So you just like, look, this is what happens. Or if you don't know the answers, which some parents are afraid to admit, why don't y'all go research together? You don't understand how much that means to a child to, like, you know, they care enough to, like, show me what's really going on, you know, and, you know, this is cool. You know, guess what I discovered? You guys will have a better relationship that way instead of just pointing the blame and you say, like, okay, you're wearing that little dress, you're going to get pregnant, you little whore. Then you're just sitting there just, like, self-fulfilling prophecy right there.
Yep, that's the truth. Camera lady said, a 32-year-old grandmother, damn. I'm 36,
yeah.
I don't have one child yet. Ashley's saying that at 22, she knows people her age who are on their third kid. You know, and it is true.
Yeah.
It is very, very true. You know, it's crazy.
Like doesn't it seem like some people seem like they're born pregnant?
Some.
I'm just dead serious. I mean, like, 1 second, this person, like, okay, well, I'm just 15, and I got a baby now, and then a few years later, she like, just got out of high school, and her daughter or son has just reached middle school. Ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Just ignorant.
I mean, it's just a cycle, you know, just, it's somebody, I know a lot of young grandmothers, you know, and it's not how it was. You know, even my mom says that all the time. Like, it's not how it was when, you know, they were raising us. You know, she was like, y'all have such a hard time with these kids because y'all are not too much older than these kids. You know, and she's right. And if you don't have a baby at 22, I think that's a good thing. You know, it's hard trying to raise kids, and especially when you're still considered young and you're still trying to do you, and, you know, your child is growing up, it's definitely not easy. You know, I would always say it's better to wait. You know, it's better to wait. Princeton is saying he's 18 and most of the people in his class have two kids. And it's true. You know, like, even when I was growing up and stuff, like, when we lived, a lot of people just had kids. Like, it was just normal for people to be 16, 17, 18-year-old parents. You know, and it wasn't until I left, you know, my area, and I went to other places around the country, and I'm like, no, it's not normal to have a baby at 16, 17. Like, you know, I know a lot of people down south who don't have kids, but, you know, where I grew up up north, it was just like more people had kids. Like, literally all of me, my friends, the people I grew up with, they all had babies by the time they were 18. So now this generation who all had kids at 15, 16, 17, 18, now our teens are getting older, but it's harder to raise them because they're still trying to have their little life and kick it too. But fuck it, you chose to have them, you got to raise them. No excuses. Point blank. I don't care if you're a 16-year-old mother, you chose, at the end of the day, you always have a choice. You know, you're either going to give birth to that child, have an abortion, or give it up for adoption. If you choose to keep your child and raise that child, raise the child properly. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason that you should be out here raising a child who thinks that it's okay to rape somebody and then post the shit on the internet.
But,
you know,
something's
definitely wrong in that household.
But think about it, T, like, a lot of times in that environment, you have a child who's pregnant, and they're not getting the tutelage to learn how to be a parent when they're still struggling on how to be a kid themselves. So they got to juggle one thing versus the other. Like, wow, my friends are out there having fun, but now they're forcing me to do something that I don't want to do. But again, like it's in those situations, a lot of times you can't reap the willing. You know, if you don't have that level of sexual education or even interpersonal education, you run into situations that you learn to regret. And not to say all parents, young parents, I'll say, regret having their children, but it does happen. And, you know, you'll see them situations where they throw kids in a dumpster or all this ignorant stuff just to avoid accountability of the decisions they made.
Right. And I think that's what was going on with the lady in Charlotte. She left a comment on my video, the lady who got her 13-year-old arrested for the Pop-Tart situation. She's saying that there's more to the story and that the police and the news media are exploiting her and she wants to share her story. I gave her the phone number. I told her if she wants to, she can call in tonight and explain her side of the story. She never replied back to the email, so maybe we'll interview her next week. But, you know, I that's what it is. I think a lot of these parents, you know, because it's not easy, especially if you don't have a support system, and sometimes people get in over their heads, and you're trying to, and she said she has three other kids. So I'm assuming she's a young mother, and she's probably at her wit's end, but there's no excuse to call the police on your child for something that petty, you know, because you have kids out here doing a lot worse, and these parents don't call the police on them, don't give that child a criminal record over Pop-Tarts. Like, you know, I don't agree with that at all.
That just sounds bad. Calling the police over Pop-Tarts. That just makes you, as a parent, I mean, I know there's more to the story, but, like, when you read that story, it makes you sound like, as a parent, it sounds like it makes you sound like an ass, personally.
Right.
It's Pop-Tarts.
Right, I mean, it's crazy.
Pop-Tarts.
Somebody said that, hold on, who said it? Princeton said that the girl next door is 16 with two kids, just had an abortion, her baby's father is 19 with three kids. Lord.
I'm
37.
He's
doing the most at
19. Yeah? Wow. Y'all doing too much out here. Y'all doing too much.
That's a lot to handle. That's too much to handle, P.I.C. me. I couldn't deal with that many kids. That's
no.
Five kids between the two of them.
They ain't even a 20 yet. Kids being kids. Well, actually, kids raising kids. That I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
Now, I don't know if you guys heard yet, excuse me, but Bill Clinton, they're saying that he has a love child out here, and the child is half black. It's a little mixed dude. And he looks like Bill Clinton. And the mama was a prostitute back in the day. Bill Clinton slept with a prostitute and got her pregnant, a black prostitute, and now the son wants Bill Clinton to acknowledge him. See, what it is Bill Clinton is sick. Folks are saying that Bill Clinton may be on the verge of dying, and I think the son is looking for some money. But he does look like Bill Clinton, though. He really does. So it's going to be a really interesting, you know, story. It's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out because it's like so many of these people, these politicians, act like they're just so all that, but they be having whole separate secret lives. Look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. He had gotten his maid pregnant and everything.
Hillary gonna be bad.
I'm trying to see if I can find the picture of Bill Clinton's son. The story just came out today. But they said they've been saying that for years. They said that the dude, they said, like, in Arkansas, that's been one of the rumors for years, that Bill Clinton fathered a black child. But he doesn't want to claim him because, you know, it would ruin his reputation.
Really?
Yeah.
He hasn't stopped it this far. I mean, hey, but... I mean, if it's true, not going to leave that alone. That's for another show. That's for another show. I don't leave that shit alone. I'm going to sit out right here.
It's crazy, but dude, he looks just like Bill Clinton. It's insane.
See, y'all.
And the lady saying that she could believe it, you know, because black people in Arkansas love him. Ashley's saying it sounds like a scandal. Now, let me ask y'all this in the chat room. What did y'all think about the little boy named Scandell? He was one of the dudes who was named as a rapist of that 12-year-old girl. I thought that was a ratchet name. You know, and it's we need to start naming our kids as Eddie and everything. His name is Scandal, but it's spelled Scandal. S-C-A-N-D-A-L, but it's pronounced Scandal.
Why? Why?
I don't know. And everybody was talking about that, you know, like, why would you name the child that and not look at the situation he's in? Because, you know, a lot of times your name says a lot about you. And something like that is just like, now he's involved in the scandal of raping a 12-year-old girl, and that's his name.
You really don't.
I don't know about all that, but I just thought the name was just hood, was just ratchet and hood as hell.
That's not a cool hood name. I get tired of black folks. And I'm calling black folks out. Why are y'all telling some ratchet-ass names out of nothing? Scandal, gonorrhea. No, certain names just shouldn't happen. They just shouldn't happen.
Who the hell named their child gonorrhea?
They'll change it to gonorrhea or whatever the fuck they'll throw. They'll throw some shit together, like some fucked-up Sudoku puzzle, and, like, that's supposed to work. No.
Hell no.
Just no.
Yeah, his name is Scandal Fritz.
Game over. Game over.
That's his name. You know, I think it's very important we name our children. I think that whole situation is just ratchet. I just hope, you know, that they're going to get the time that they deserve, because what they did was not only wrong, it was just straight up crazy. It made no sense whatsoever for them to even post it, you know, so it's a mess.
But they learned that from somewhere. Again, it's like in this culture, like hyper-sexed, undereducated, they learned it from somewhere. So they thought it was cool, won't you go do this thing, you know, you'll be cool with us. And there it is. You know, they figure they could take things now. Like, there's, I mean, when it comes to rape, it's about power and controls. I wouldn't even say anything about the sex. It's about control over somebody. That fear. That's what amps, you know, some of these sickos up, male or female. Now, it doesn't really have to be sexual all the time, because there's other ways to rape somebody, but that's a whole other comment in itself.
Yeah, because we were talking about that one show when we talked about the Studentville case, the whole digital rape thing, because I didn't even know what that was. But, you know, people need to talk to their boys about that, too. It's not necessarily just raping somebody with your penis. You can also get time for digitally raping somebody, you know, using your fingers, using an object. So I think there just needs to be an open dialogue, point blank.
Yeah.
The kids are going to engage in sex. There's really nothing you can do about that. So it's like you just have to, you know, be honest with them and let them know, especially with a lot of these young girls and these females, let them know to be aware of their surroundings. And if they don't feel comfortable with somebody, they have to be able to listen to that intuition inside of them. And I think that intuition plays a big role, you know, in saving a lot of people in certain situations. A lot of people tend to ignore that voice inside of them, but I think that you should really focus on that, because I think a lot of times, too, that voice inside of you, it'll give you, like, a vibe on certain people, too. Like, have you just ever been, like, in a situation? Like, I know I was at this place the other day, kind of like an outlet, kind of. You know, it's kind of secluded almost. And I had just bought some stuff for my guy for his birthday. So I had to go to the restroom, and there was this dude, he was kind of walking alongside me, and there's really nobody there, because, like I said, it's kind of secluded, it's not in the mall, it's kind of like an indoor, it's kind of like an indoor-outdoor type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's, like, walking alongside me, and I just felt kind of, you know, like a weird vibe from him, you know, not trying to judge him or nothing, but just kind of felt weird. And so I'm getting ready to go walk in there, and he's walking towards the bathroom, you know, kind of, like, next to me. So I walked in, and then he came in behind me, and I kept walking, and I'm looking over my shoulder, too. Like, I'm just looking over my shoulder. So I go use the restroom, and I come back out, and he's, like, kind of, like, just loitering around in the little hallway area. And like I said, it's just me and him. There's nobody else in the facility, and I'm just looking, like, you know, are there cameras in here? You know, shit like that. And so he's drinking some water from the drinking fountain, And I just didn't want to walk past him. I don't know why. I just didn't want to walk past him because it's like as I was getting ready to, you know, to walk, it's like he kind of stopped drinking his water and he kind of looked at me. And then it's like he went to get behind me. I was like, yo, dude, walk in front of me. And he kind of got shook, but it was just like, nah, you're going to have to walk in front of me. Like, I just didn't feel comfortable with him walking behind me in this location. I didn't want him to grab me. I told you, I watched him with Van ID. And he just kind of made me kind of nervous. So he walked in front of me, you know, he held the door open, whatever. He walked, and then, you know, I went a whole different way and then got back in my car. But, you know, it's just little things. I'm not saying that he was a crazy psycho killer, but it's just little things that you've got to be able to listen to, just certain little intuitions. You know, yeah. And maybe he was just drinking some water and I was being too deep into it, but I'm like, dude, you still here? You know? Yeah. Like, how much water can you drink? My ass be paranoid sometimes, for real. Because I'm like, people are crazy. I be watching that show, I Was Murdered, shit. For real, I be looking at certain signs and everything else. I'm like, people out here are just insane, and it's just, you know, you got to thank your blessings every day, you know, every time you wake up. You know, if it ain't something with your health, it could be, you know, just some crazy person or, you know, look at all these kids that are out here hurting themselves and, you know, hurting other people. You know, it's just sad.
Well, everything to get on World Star or, you know, put something on the social media site, say, you know, this is what I'm doing, just careless.
VH1 Access is saying that he's been in those situations too. Princeton is saying that she lives in Detroit, so that's why she has a bunch of ratchet stories to tell.
Well,
you know,
she got a point.
So it's crazy.
Hmm? She got a point.
Right. Now let me ask y'all this. A lot of people are saying that Chicago is turning into the next Detroit. And I'm sure you guys heard, you know, everything about the Chicago schools and stuff like that, how they're closing down. Well, instead of 50 schools, they're closing down 49 because that little boy, Ahsan Johnson, his speech moved them to not close down his school. And I was so proud of that young man. He was so articulate and eloquent when he was saying his little speech and how he felt that Rahm Emanuel and the governor and then the mayor and stuff like that didn't care about the kids on the south side and the west side of Chicago. To hear a young man be able to articulate himself that much and to only be 9 years old, that made me proud. Because so many times we hear about these kids as being ratchet and not caring and not having any respect. His mother is obviously raising him right. With that being said, you know, a lot of people are upset about the schools closing in Chicago. But I feel like this, you know, as horrible as that is and as unfair as I think it is, I feel like some of the blame goes on the community, too. I just feel like it's starting to get to the point where government officials, they're washing their hands of the black community, of, I guess, the black social ills. They're just washing their hands of everything, and they don't care anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You get what I'm saying, Alan?
No, I agree with that, because, like, it's a whole lot of things, like the infestation of gangs, no need for a neighborhood watch, allowing community programs to get dismissed, legislation to get passed that goes against what we need, not taking care of each other in the home, always having this all about me and forget everybody else, especially your family type mindset. We've allowed ourselves to, like, basically be put in a situation where, like, you know what, they don't give a damn, why should we?
Right. I mean, that's what I'm really thinking is starting to happen when you think about black neighborhoods, you know, black areas. I get emails from people from Detroit, and Princeton is saying that they've damn near closed every school in Detroit that Detroit can close. There's, like, such a lack of education, especially in the poor neighborhoods, you know, and what's happened is they'd rather take that, you know, I just find it funny that Rahm Emanuel, and then they would rather take the $100 million and use that to invest into a new stadium, you know, for the college, as opposed to take that same $100 million and invest into the schools on the south side and the west side of Chicago. But from what I'm hearing, a lot of people are happy with that decision in Chicago because they feel like the south side, especially the south side, the Inglewood area, they feel like that area is just a lost cause. You know, they feel like these people obviously love killing each other. They love the black-on-black genocide, so why should we care? Why should we invest any more money into that area? You know, you have the police who are like, literally, when you call the police, if there's a shooting, you know, they're taking upwards of an hour to even come. It's like people have literally washed their hands of certain areas of the black community, and it's sad because, unfortunately, everybody who lives in those areas are not, you know, are not gangbangers, are not, you know, they're just regular people who just happen to be in a situation, and they're kind of stuck amongst all this chaos. But, unfortunately, you get painted with one brush because of where you live. You know, and I just think that, you know, I feel like people are just getting tired of all the killings and all the nonsense, and now they're just starting to give up on a lot of these poor communities.
Yeah. But, again, it's like they wouldn't feel that way unless we allow them to feel comfortable with that mindset. And we have it, the people in our community, we have ourselves to blame. We can sit there and point the fingers at the government and stuff like and everything like that, but we have lost the fight for what we should value. It should be your kids. I mean, 49 schools being closed, and that's not a national tragedy. Something's wrong. Something's horribly wrong.
It is. I mean, places like Detroit have gotten so out of hand. Princeton is saying that the Detroit police don't come and the stations close at 4 p.m. And I remember doing a video on Detroit last year where they were telling people, visitors, do not come to Detroit. There's not enough police out here to help you. If you get yourself into a situation in Detroit, you are on your own. That is scary and that's sad. Because, you know, granted, if I was to go to Detroit, I'm just coming to visit. But imagine people who live there. How unnerving is that to hear that the police department has basically washed their hands of any situation that may occur and you happen to live in that, you know, in that area? And sometimes people say, you know, you should just move, pick up and move. And I say that too, like, you know, I don't understand why anybody lives in these neighborhoods. I think people should just try and save up their money and try and get up out of there. But I do understand for some people it's not an option or that's all they've known. But at some point in time, you know, when I hear stories and it's like, oh, well, my 16-year-old was killed last year. The year before that I lost a 13-year-old and now you're scared you're about to lose your 8-year-old. Come on. I mean, when death comes into play, I'm getting the hell up out of there. You done lost two sons. Why would you risk losing another? You know, those are stories like that that make me just feel like, dang, like, it's not that serious to stay in that area. I'd have to leave, you know. Even if I had to sell everything I have, I'd have to leave because I would want some type of peace of mind. And I'm not saying that, you know, that there's no other bad places in the U.S. Of course, there's always a hood or a ghetto in every damn state. Even up here in Minnesota, they consider the north side hood. But if you've been outside of Minnesota, to me, the north side looks like damn Beverly Hills compared to some of the places I've been. You know, go down to New Orleans and compare that to the north side. So it's crazy. But I think a lot of people, you know, especially like the government, it's just all about money. They're not worried about the people anymore. And like you said, if you don't care about your own neighborhood, why would outsiders care about your neighborhood? They don't have to live there. They don't have to be involved in that chaos or in those shootings and in all that mess that goes on. So why should they fund any more money into your neighborhood when y'all don't care what happens to it?
I agree. 100%, I agree.
So do you think that there's anything that people can do, like as far as like trying to, you know, get their neighborhoods back in order? Do you think it's just a lost cause because it seems like some of these kids, they just don't care no more?
I don't think I used to think it was a lost cause, but, you know, it starts with one, take a difference. You take over your home like you mean it. Take back your house. And if everyone, you know, individually starts doing that, you can start taking back your neighborhoods. Then you can take back your community and so on. But until then, what can you do? I mean, it's an uphill battle because you have to fight against a well-entrenched mindset to where it's kill or be killed or just kill for the sake of killing. You got to battle that. I mean, again, there's a lot of forces in there, but again, like if you think freedom and your family and your peace of mind is worth fighting for and worth dying for, then do it. Otherwise, you're just talking shit.
Right. Princeton is saying that Detroit is in line for a comeback. What they basically are doing in Detroit is that they want all the black people to move out so the suburban residents can move back into Detroit. And it's gentrification. I remember watching Boys in the Hood as a shorty and listening to Furious Styles. Like he's a real person. But you know, he was spitting some real stuff, and we didn't realize it back then because we were like, what, like in fifth, sixth grade? You know, we didn't know what that shit was. But now that I'm older and I look back on what he's saying, it's so true. You know, and you see all these major areas and the regentrification has started. You know, they did the same thing in Harlem. Where I grew up in St. Paul, you know, we grew up in, like, the black neighborhood. It was, like, the middle section where all the black people were at. Everybody called it the hood. And when you go back, it's so crazy because my old neighborhood where I grew up in, it's not the same. It's white people there now. And they have them there because that section of the city is, like, a really valuable section because it's right in between the two cities, St. Paul and Minneapolis, because they're the twin cities. So right there, it takes you 10 to 15 minutes to get to Minneapolis or 10 to 15 minutes to get to downtown St. Paul. So that was very crucial for especially corporate people. And what they did is they ended up buying out a lot of houses, getting rid of people. And when I came back to Minnesota after 10 years, I'm like, well, damn, what happened to the hood? You know, everybody moved. They moved everybody to the east side. They moved everybody to the suburbs. And then all the white people who were living out in the suburbs when I was growing up, they're all now in the hood. But it's not the hood anymore because everything's clean. There's trees. People are walking their dogs. I was just shocked. There's fences in my old townhomes that I grew up in. It looks so different. I'm like, damn, they move all the black folks out and, they, you know, everything gets a makeover. It just looks so gorgeous now. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. But that regentrification is real. And Sean has said that they did the same thing in Brooklyn. They built condos in his old area. The same thing is happening in Compton, Ashley is saying. She's starting seeing a lot of white and Asian people in the so-called hood. So it's crazy. It's happening everywhere. That they're trying to move black folks out of that prime area, put them out in the suburbs, and then now they're moving, you know, the business people into those areas. And it's crazy because you think that you could go back to your home, you know, and see where you grew up, and it just doesn't look the same. And I remember when I came up here in 2007 to visit, because I hadn't been back to our childhood home, I mean, probably in like 6, 7 years, and I was like literally in tears. So I'm like, what the hell is this? Like this does, you know, I didn't even recognize our old house. Like it looks so different. The, you know, I didn't see anybody. I didn't see none of the same people I was used to. Wasn't no crackheads walking around. Nobody had no bootleg purses. You know, it was just different. So, you know, I don't know. And it's crazy because now it's like I live out here in the suburbs and I'm seeing so many more black people out here in the suburbs, too, whereas back in the day, you didn't see no black people in the suburbs. So they're definitely, you know, changing stuff around, and that's why we have to, you know, take control of our communities because stuff is definitely changing.
But don't you think there's
such a precedent? Are you guys experiencing anything like that in Texas?
In some ways, I mean, there's Fifth Ward. I try my best to pass through it or avoid it. But... still, they're set a precedent. Like, it seems like, you know, once they remove people of color out of an area that, you know, all the badness can go away. Just like how they say they attribute, in some ways, the word black as bad until, like, you have things like gays and new black. You know, it's always something. So, I mean, again, it's like this is what I talk about when people of color need to really reestablish the actually dismiss all the stereotypes that's been cast on us, like the negative ones, and turn them into positive ones. So you start doing that, you start changing people's perspective by how you carry yourself, how you treat each other, how you support each other, because since we don't support our own businesses, we don't have the money or the backing for our word to mean anything, like other communities.
Right. Sean said he seen white people jogging at night. He knew something was different in Brooklyn.
Hey, yeah, like, hey, hold on. What?
Kyle's girl said that she left Detroit to get an education, but she would never stop fighting. She's an activist in Detroit, and she's been one since age of 12. And that's what's up. You know, we need definitely need more activists out here and, you know, supporting our communities and everything else because it is. It's just, it's sad. And I know, like, you know, my guy, he's from Chicago, and he feels the same way when he goes back to Chicago because, you know, they tore down all the projects. He grew up in Robert Taylor. And so it's like, just like the memories and just all the horrible memories he has from damn Robert Taylor projects, you know, and it's like to go back and see these townhomes, you know, built there. It's just, it's different. And, you know, regentrification, I guess, can help certain areas, but I don't think it helped in Chicago because when they tore down those projects, you basically had different fractions and, you know, different gangs just basically being let loose into the city. So a lot of people are saying they should have never tore down the projects, but I don't know. I think it's, you know, I think in a way it was better if they tore it down, but then in a way it seems like that's when the violence kind of picked up because now you have all these different people warring over just stupid stuff, you know, territory and drugs and everything else, you know, but I think a lot of that stuff wouldn't even be a viable option if there were jobs and there were opportunities for people in those areas. And, you know, you just have a lot of young kids in Chicago, they want to do the right thing. You know, I get the emails from the kids, they want to do the right thing, but what can they do when they go to apply for jobs and there's really no jobs to even, you know, to apply for? There's like, there's nothing for them out there. So it's like they had no other choice but to turn to doing dirt, you know? So it's kind of, it's just crazy. And the politicians don't care, like nobody cares.
Well, they allocate money for other nonsense projects where they spend hundreds of thousands to figure out the mating habits of weird animals and stuff. But versus like
weird animals.
Yeah, I mean they just do. I mean you look at the budget to where they have money allocated for something like, you know, to figure out the length of an animal's genitalia. But then you have people who could when you see like there's an absence of jobs, this is where the entrepreneurship would come in handy. Where we sit there and like by nature we barter and trade. You know, sometimes we take a hood, but I mean, like, still, by nature, we barter and trade things. So if we actually support each other as far as, like, financially and, like, economically, commerce-wise, you'd be surprised how much money that could circulate in the community and make something different. We could have we don't even have our own banks, which is sad. But I've seen this in L.A., and I've seen, you know, little Italy or little Chinatown or little Budapest, or I've seen all different types of plays, but you don't see anything with a mass majority of us together being able to work together and for each other.
Right.
Things would be different if it happened, but till that happens, we don't have a say in anything. Like, we can just sit there and, like, march and protest, but no one's trying to hear that. There's no dollars. See, that's what people hear, the kringle of money. When you got money out there, then they pay attention and they'll want you to sit at the table. You'll have your voice will have something, it'll be heard. It'll have some bass to it. But until you have that money, they're not trying to hear that. Nothing.
All right. You know, that's the crazy part. And like you said, that's the thing. Like, we have to change our mentality as a people, too, because how many black-owned businesses do you see, you know, do people go out their way to support? You know, we did that show that time about people supporting black businesses, and the excuses that people have for not supporting black businesses is, you know, they have attitudes, they be acting funny, or they go in wanting a hookup. Just because you see a black face, you automatically feel like that person should give you a hookup, but you're not understanding that they don't have to put their blood, sweat, and tears and their money into their business. You're not going to go into the Asian man's, you know, restaurant and say, yo, hook me up with this chicken fried rice. So how would you think, you know, this black business owner has to hook you up? And I think a lot of times we just have to change our mentality. We need to support more black businesses, but then we also need to treat black businesses with respect. So it's definitely a two-way street. And a lot of the black businesses also need to be up to par. Because I know sometimes I'll go into a black business and it's like, you know, they have an attitude, they don't want to speak, they feel some type of way. And it's like, well, damn, you know, I'm coming here to spend my money, and it's not like I'm getting a deal. I'm definitely spending more than if I was to go to Walmart. At least say hello when I walk into your store, you know. So I think attitudes can be changed on both ends.
Yeah, the customer service especially.
That's the truth. But people are making so many good points in the chat room. lots of good points, and it's just really, really unfortunate, everything that's going on. Ashley's saying that actually a lot of Mexican gangs are doing the ethnic cleansing right now, killing innocent black men and children. And I know there's been a lot of issues down in L.A. and Compton with the Hispanics and the blacks, and I never understood that. Now, when I was in L.A., not last summer, but the summer before last, when I went to L.A., and we was down there, we was in Compton, we was on Florence, we went to all the hood spots. You know, we went to Beverly Hills. We were everywhere, you know, East Los Angeles. I mean, I was kicking it. But it was definitely crazy how poor it is in certain areas, and then you're in Beverly Hills and you see people riding around in Bentleys, and right across the bridge is a Mexican man selling oranges off of the freeway. Like, the poverty in L.A. is just really, really sad, because it's almost like there's no middle class there. It's really hard to make it. And, you know, and I don't understand the whole beefing with the Mexicans and the blacks. I can say L.A. is definitely ran by the Mexicans. I mean, it was crazy because I'm like, okay, we're in L.A., but it's like all I'm seeing is Mexicans, Mexicans, Mexicans. And they were all cool, you know, they were all real nice and stuff like that. But I can definitely tell it's changed a lot. You know, there's a lot of Mexicans there. And, you know, even if we were to see a black person, we'd be like, oh, my gosh, a black person, you know, we go up and talk to them and chop it up and stuff like that. But L.A.'s changed a lot. It really has. But I think just for the fact that, you know, two big minority groups, if they were to come together, do you know how much of a change they could make in L.A.? If they would just put aside the brown pride and the black pride, if they were to come together, they really could build something in L.A. and make it so much better. You know, I never understood why the Mexicans and the blacks get into it so hard. And I know part of it is the gang culture in L.A., but it's just like if they would take that same energy and put it into something positive, they would be a force to be reckoned with. Because at the end of the day, those are two big minority groups. You know, why are you guys doing, you know, the government a favor by killing each other? Like, I never understood the beef between the Mexicans and the blacks in L.A. because they're both minorities.
Well, I actually have a beef with that term minority, because I believe the numbers are skewed to make people think that way. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more to the numbers than there is. I think they discount. I think they, like, have some ways of parsing the numbers, like, you know, saying some people in prison so they don't count them, or because of the location that they were born, or some ignorant stuff. But to make the numbers, like, ridiculously small, to make people, that'll change your mindset. Because if you have more numbers, you see how more confident people are, you know, how they're looking to not just do things but make things move. So when you got people thinking like, well, I'm only got 16% of the population, so we can't do much, that sets a mental a preset there. Like, so I'm only limited to so much, what does my voice have to say? So I think there's much more than just what they're leading on to. So kind of find our bill to swamp my authority. I just don't bite into that.
Right. And as she's saying that, she thinks for some reason it seems like some of the Mexicans see themselves above blacks. They even tell their kids that. So, you know, and I think people, I don't know. I see it all the time with minorities. Like, I just wrote in the chat room, some of the Indians up here, there's a big Indian population up here, Native Americans, you know, and some of them, they're so racist, some of them. You know, one of my bestest friends growing up was Native. Oh, he was fine as hell. But his auntie was so racist. He lived with both his aunties because something happened to his mama. And she would not allow us to go through the front door because we were black. We could only sneak in through the window. So if we went to go, I mean, everybody did. It wasn't just us. But it was like all his friends had to come in through the window. And then she would never come downstairs. She'd be like, I want all those N-words out my house now. Everybody had to get up, go back out through the window. I mean, just, I don't know. I don't understand when other minority people, you know, who face racism themselves, you know, for somehow think that they're better than blacks. I would never understand that at all. I mean, this one time this man was drunk on the corner, drunk Indian man, drunk as hell, you know, just kept calling me, you know, the N-word. I'm like, dude, you're laying on the corner drunk, begging for change, and I'm the, you know. It's like, whatever, dude. Yeah.
Well, that term they like to associate with blacks, but then if you look across every spectrum around every color spectrum as far as ethnically, there are those N-words out there. They just don't I mean, they don't make them popular as they make with, I guess, the race. I mean, there are some who are, people say, hillbillies. There's the others, and I've talked to people with different nationalities, and they said, yeah, there's us, and then there's them, you know, the ones we don't deal with. So it takes a lot more of research and then, like, and talking to people and understand, like, it's not that the N-word is not centralized on blacks in general. Now, there's some people who act like that, personify it, but there's some people across the board who fit that title to the T.
Right. Yep, it's crazy. It's insane.
Yeah.
As you said, we have about 4 minutes left. So everybody's making some really, really good points in the chat room. So, yeah, College Girl said that she doesn't like the term minority either. You know, but so what term do you guys rather use?
Anything else, something more significant or accurate than minority? Minority means small, means runt, means like butt of the bread type conversation. You know, that has to be something different. We'll find a different term. I mean, I'm sure the chat room come up with something, but minority is just not buying that title. It's not.
Yeah, people are talking about East Indians. Some of them can be really, really, you know, off the chain too. I remember this East Indian man asked me one time why I don't wear their hair. I said, what? He was like, why you don't wear our hair? All the other black girls wear our hair. I said, because I like my damn hair. I don't need to put your damn hair on my head. You know, but it's just like, he asked me that straight up. He didn't understand why I wore an afro. He didn't like my afro. You know, he said, just didn't look right. He said, why don't you wear our hair? He asked me that point blank, and I was just like, wow, I can't believe this man just asked me why I don't wear their hair. Yeah, I mean, you will always experience racism and ignorant people, you know, in every culture, in every community. So it's just unfortunate, but that's why, again, we can't play into those stereotypes, because a lot of these people, you know, think racist, you know, have a racist mentality towards some blacks because of the stereotype. When they're constantly watching videos from World Star Hip Hop and, you know, on the news, we're always being portrayed a certain way, and a lot of us are perpetuating the bullshit. That's the unfortunate part. So it's like, you know, it's even harder for the black folks who aren't, you know, ratchet, who aren't stealing at the damn store and running over their kids, because now people see her story and they think that that's all black women. You know, so we just, you know, we just have to come together and hopefully they can start showing the people who are trying to make a change and do better in a better light.
Yeah. You're on board with that one. Thanks, Grandma P.
I ain't no damn grandma. You're a mess. So we're down to our final minute here. So I had a really good time tonight. I want to thank everybody who came out for the show. We'll be doing another show next week, Wednesday. I didn't do it this Wednesday because I was literally busy editing videos and I didn't even realize it was Wednesday. But I'm glad we're able to do it today. The giveaway will be coming up soon in about a week or two. And I did get the coach bag. I'll do a video on it probably tomorrow. But so I can show you guys what it looks like and stuff like that. I'm excited to give it away to one lucky subscriber. So, you figure out any gift cards, Ronan?
I got a few, but I'm not going to reveal them yet.
You got a few in mind? If there's any specific gift cards that you guys are interested in, let me and Ronan know.
Yeah.
So we can purchase them.
We'll take care of that.
We're waiting to get paid.
Yeah, we're waiting on the show funds to clear.
Okay, I'm gonna need somebody not to ask for a vibrator.
wait. That's not that kind of
vibrator.
That's a whole nother show and a whole nother giveaway. So hold up on that.
Sex toy giveaway. That'd be interesting. Give somebody some bedroom candy. Blog Talk Radio after dark. We need to have another sex show. Camera Lady been asking for a sex show for the past 3 weeks now. We'll do another one. Summertime is coming up.
We got it.
Look, Thomas ain't said nothing the whole show. He go here. He's in to talk about vibrators and sex. Look at his comment. What? LOL.
You're like, huh?
That woke Thomas up. Good night,
welcome
everybody.
To the game,
we will talk to you guys later.
All right, now. Wash your hands.
Bye.